You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito. Happy Friday to you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your Friday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. Lord God Almighty, we praise you in the house today. Lord, you've been so good to us. We exalt you. We exalt Triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit here today. Lord, we ask for your blessings on this sermon now. Speak to us where we know that you speak through and with and by your word. We listen for your voice. Help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Here today, and I guess on Monday we'll wrap this up. This going back about 2 years to hear a sermon from the book of Acts. Matter of fact, was the first sermon that kicked off a series I did a little while ago, verse-by-verse series in the book of Acts. So this sermon, I believe, is entitled Many Infallible Proofs. That's what Luke wrote about the Son of God. They're infallible, not even up for discussion, as far as he was concerned. And Luke gathered his gospel in the book of Acts by interviewing people. He went around the areas after the fact, and he interviewed people. He interviewed John the Baptist's parents, and Mary, I'm sure, and whoever was left alive from the apostles. He went and he interviewed people. This is where his gospel came from, firsthand experience, interviewing people. And he wrote here, he's going to write here in the first couple verses of this book, that is by many infallible proofs, O Theophilus. He's going to talk about Jesus. So that's what we're going to hear today and Monday. Here this weekend, we're in the book of Galatians. You're invited. Love to see you at church this weekend. God's doing a great work at our church, friend. Our church is really growing, but more important than that, is that you experience the presence of God there, regardless of if there's five people or 500. You experience the presence of God. God's doing a great work there. This week, my sermon is out of Galatians. We're in chapter 6, where Paul says, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, this shall he also reap. Paul says he's not mocked, but unfortunately, I say to you, he is. Now, I know what he meant, and I'm not contradicting him. He's saying in the end, he's not going to be mocked, because everyone's going to have to give an account for the things done here in this life. But here today, he's mocked big time by people. That's what we're going to look at here this week. Sunday morning, 10:30. Love to see you in person. Island Community Church is at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, Sunday morning, 10:30. If you can't join us, you can watch us on the app. If you're not attending another church, that'll start at 10:30, Island Community Church, FL. The Facebook page is Island Community Church. That'll kick off right at 10:30, the app around 10:50, in time for the sermon. However, you can join us, or else right here on the radio. That'll play next week as well if you're attending another church. But don't miss this message. It's a timely word here for today. Okay, let's get into this message now, this intro into the book of Acts. Have a great weekend, everyone. God bless you. We'll see you back here on the radio on Monday. Love to see you in person on Sunday morning.
The book of Acts is a historical book. Please don't get angry with me for saying that, or remove me from your will, or whatever means you choose to lash out at me, because people do when I tell them this. The book of Acts is a historical book. If you don't get that, you will forever have bad theology. Acts has it all. Supernatural intervention, astounding miracles, powerful preaching, breathtaking escapes, harrowing journeys, life and death decisions, courtroom dramas, thrilling rescues, action, mystery, and adventure. Acts will grab your attention, trigger your imagination, and tug at your emotions. It's a terrific story and a great read, and it's true. As you flip through the pages, however, don't miss the story behind the stories. Underlying the stimulating sermons and the display of miracles, look for God to be at work in individuals. Down to author. And I encourage you to keep this in your Bible this year as a bookmarker. Refer to this often. The author is Luke, Dr. Luke. He was a medical doctor. He was a Gentile. One of the only ones other than Nebuchadnezzar I can think of that wasn't a Jew that wrote a book of the Bible. He was a traveling companion of Paul. He was the writer of the gospel, according to Luke. Luke was a close friend and companion of Paul. He is listed as the writer of the gospel bearing his name by nearly all of the ancient church fathers. The text of the book of Acts clearly reveals the same author as the gospel of Luke. Both books are addressed to someone named Theophilus. Now let me test your all's Greek as many years as you've been here. What does Theophilus mean? What does phileo mean? And theos. You know, if we ever had a kid, I'd love to name him Theophilus. Lover of the Lord. Lover of God. Theophilus. Luke 1:1 and Acts 1:1. And this opening sentence in Acts refers to a previous book that sounds very much like the Gospel of Luke. It makes sense as well in light of Luke's commitment to writing a careful summary of the events that took place. Acts seems to be a continuation of this story. I call it a sequel, a second volume, which details what happened subsequent to Christ's death and resurrection. Although the writer does not identify himself by name anywhere in the book, he starts using the pronoun we in chapter 16, verse 10, indicating that the writer had joined Paul in the middle of his travels here. He went from they did this, they did this, and then right in the middle, out of nowhere, that changes to we. We did this. We went there. So he must have met Paul somewhere, became a disciple, and started traveling with Paul. As such, Luke must have become one of Paul's co-workers, which is exactly what Paul acknowledges in Philemon chapter 1, verse 24. When written on the back of the page, written between 63 and 65 A.D. from an unknown location. The final event of Acts, that's Paul's ministry in Rome, provides a clue to the date and setting of the book. Christianity was recognized by the Roman authorities before AD 65, But then Nero began persecuting followers of the Christian faith. Yet Acts makes no mention of persecution. It makes no comment on the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, something clearly that would have been mentioned if Luke had written this after that. The gospel records Jesus' words regarding the destruction of the temple, Luke 19 and Luke 21. So Luke certainly would have mentioned in Acts the prophecy being fulfilled. Noting the gospel account, probably written in 60 to 61. Okay, noting the gospel, that's the gospel of Luke, was probably written 60 to 61, was the first of the books. The two books probably were written within a short time of each other, possibly during Luke's stays with Paul while in prison in Caesarea. Remember, as we go through, the title is not Acts. It's the Acts of the Apostles. Or really, we could say the Acts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at the birth of the church of Jesus Christ and the arrival and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, none of these two things can ever be duplicated again. This is the key to having a proper understanding of the church today and how certain errors have crept into the church because people misunderstand that the birth of the church and the arrival of the Holy Spirit have already happened. It's not going to happen again. So you see, unfortunately, what your lot is and mine is the lukewarm church. They were around for the birth of the church. You and I are around for the lukewarm church. Unfortunately, that's the prophecy that we have to look forward to. The prophetic church fits right into our time frame. We're at the end of the church age, not at the beginning. So let's get right into this great book here. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Now the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles, whom he had chosen, to whom, verse 3, he also presented himself alive. I wonder how that looked like. He presented himself. Here I am. He presented himself alive. And that really is what he did. He walked through doors and presented himself alive. And that's what it meant to be an apostle. You saw this with your own eyes. You saw someone that died on Friday standing in your kitchen on Sunday. You saw this, which is why the key word we're going to see in this book is witness. Better yet, eyewitness. So again, verse 3, to whom he presented himself alive after his suffering, or King James says, after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. All right, so this book of Acts, written by Luke, is the sequel to the Gospel of Luke. Let's read the last page of that letter to see where we left off. If you would, if you have a Bible, let's turn to Luke chapter 24. But don't run too far. Keep a finger in Acts. We'll be back there in a minute. Luke chapter 24, verse 46. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations beginning at Jerusalem. All right, there's the ministry and the calling. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in Jesus' name to all the nations beginning in Jerusalem. Verse 48, and you are witnesses of these things. This, again, is key to understanding that these guys were eyewitnesses. The book of Acts' complete name, Acts of the Apostles. And the command is followed by a promise here in verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And that is where Luke left off. Now, back again, back to Acts, verse 1, chapter 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, which we just looked at, right? Preach repentance and remission of sins. That's their mission in Jesus' name. Verse 3, to whom he presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. All right, Luke told this unbeliever, Theophilus, that there were infallible proofs about who Jesus Christ was. They were infallible because these guys saw him with their own eyes. And that's what made them apostles. They were eyewitnesses, chosen eyewitnesses by Jesus Christ. This is what made them an apostle. Here's what the apostle John wrote, 1 John 1:1. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. Two different Greek words there, translated as see or look at. The first is the word horao, which means to experience or to stare at, to discern clearly. The second is the word theatre, where our word theater comes from, where it says that we have looked upon. Means to behold that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, that is, an experience, that which we have looked upon, theatre, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen. There's eyewitnesses, right? We have seen, and we bear witness. And we declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The book of Acts chronicles these eyewitnesses as they carry out the great commission and the Lord's last commandments that he gave them. So, infallible proofs. How about this one? 1 Corinthians 15:3. Paul said, I deliver to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures. He was seen by Peter, then by the 12. After that, listen to this, 1 Corinthians 15:6. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Last of all, he was seen by me as one born at a due time. These were infallible proofs that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. 500 people at the same time. He said some might have died. Most of them are still alive. 500 people that have seen Jesus Christ with their own eyes. That he was alive. After they crucified him on Friday over there on that cross. This is what an infallible proof. And people say, oh, I won't believe the Bible. You got to show me some proof. All right, read your Bible then. And pray for wisdom and understanding Because without God opening up your ears, you'll never understand it. Atheists read and study, and agnostics, all day long they read this book and don't understand it. Because without having ears to hear and an understanding heart, which comes from God, you'll never understand it. You'll never understand it. These are infallible proofs that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Imagine walking up to one of these 500 and saying, "I don't believe in a historical Jesus." What would they say to you? "Have a seat, Teddy. Let's talk." Right? Let me tell you what I saw. You see, this is what made an apostle an apostle. Oh, an apostle is not someone you lay hands on after a spaghetti dinner. Nowhere in this Bible does it say how to choose an apostle. John 15:6, Jesus said, "You didn't choose me. I chose you and I ordained you." 1 Corinthians 9:1, "Have I not seen Jesus?" He says, "Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus Christ?" For you to be an apostle, you had to know the color of Jesus' eyes. That's the one prerequisite. Two, you had to be chosen by Jesus Christ, and you had to, figuratively speaking, know what color his eyes were. I said that to someone once that called himself an apostle. His answer to me was, "I've seen Jesus." And my answer to that is what? I don't mean seeing Jesus after too much linguine and you went to bed with an upset stomach. Seeing Jesus with your own eyes, being alive then. This is what an apostle was. It was an eyewitness. You saw Jesus with your own eyes. Imagine that. If everyone here in this church saw Jesus with his own eyes. You guys, he sent north. You guys south. You east and you west. All with this message, you have seen Jesus Christ with your own eye. That is what an apostle was. With a gripping testimony, infallible proofs, you were loaded for bear when you left town with him. You have seen him with your own eyes. Not that you heard it from someone else who saw him with his own eyes, but you saw him with your own eyes. That. And if you misunderstand that this book is a historical book, then your theology is going to be skewed and off-center. Because you can't be an apostle today because you don't know the color of Jesus' eyes. The proof is the testimony of these eyewitnesses. So if you're looking for proof, read the Bible. It's written by eyewitnesses. Pray for ears to hear before you read. Because the preaching of the cross, the Bible says, is foolishness to them that are lost. But to us that are saved is the power of God. Okay, back to Luke's testimony. Acts verse 3. "To whom he presented himself alive after his suffering, by many infallible proofs." There's got to be so many infallible proofs that we could come up with. "Being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." All right, it's been 40 days. He died 40 days ago. Now he's leaving. Now it's going to be a 10-day wait for perhaps the most extraordinary event ever to take place in the history of this world. Am I right? It's coming in 10 days. "Now being assembled," verse 4, "being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which," he said, "you've heard from me. For John truly baptized with water," notice the next word, "but," he's making a distinction between John's baptism and the Holy Spirit's baptism. They're not the same thing. John's baptism doesn't save you. It's the Lord's baptism, the Spirit baptism is what saves you. That's what makes you born again, not being baptized by John in the water. John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. John's baptism, again, water baptism, preparing people, like the prophecy said, preparing people for the Son of God and his baptism. People needed to repent first. Same as the command we read at the end of Luke. You need a soft and tender heart prior to you able to receive Jesus Christ and hear the gospel. It's like you're baptized with John, then your house is swept clean, and now you're ready to receive Christ. At least once your house is swept clean, you better receive him then. Because Jesus warns that after you've been touched by God and you finally got remorse in your heart now, and remorse for your sins, and you repent and don't make a decision to receive Jesus Christ and follow him, then you better look out. Because the demon that used to live inside of you is going to grab seven of his buddies more wicked than he was. And then that demon's coming back to your house. And he's coming back mad. Madder than a hornet. This is the work that he does in you. Baptism with the baptism of John. Your heart is soft. The Lord reveals your sins to you. You turn and repent of your sins. Now you've got no demon tormenting you. Now you got to make a decision for Jesus. Maybe you're there right now. And that's the place where you're at. Where prior to communion over here, you got things right with God, but you haven't received Jesus Christ yet. See, you're able to think now because God chased that demon out of you. And now you're clean. Now you can hear from God. Now you can repent. Now is the time for you to receive Jesus Christ while you can still think clearly. It's like you've come down from the narcotics. The alcohol's wear it off. The drugs have wear it off. Now you can see clearly, just like the prodigal son who came to his senses. Now you've come to your senses. You got to make a decision for Jesus. Maybe not here, maybe someone on the radio. Maybe you've come to your senses now, and now you can hear from God. Now, today is the day of salvation. And if you don't do that, Jesus said, woe to that man. Because his grace just chased away a demon, and now that demon's going to come back. And he's going to come back real mad.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.